Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Greer Method, the podcast. I'm your host, Jared Greer. I'm an executive coach and the founder of Greer Method Complete Coaching. And this episode is going to be a fun one. Our guest today is probably our most unique guest up to this point. He is an Instagram influencer. You can find him at C. Mike Dunn on Instagram. He's got more than 100,000 followers, and certainly that might not be an impressive number to you. It's an impressive number to me because I have like 10 followers. But he's got 100,000 followers, and he's gained them by teaching how to shoot a basketball. That's right. Just teaching how to shoot a basketball, proper fundamentals, technique. And that's all he does, with the occasional post about his wife or his new baby girl. This guy is a family man. He has a relentless work ethic, just awesome. Such creativity, such passion. This interview is a fun one because we talk about his basketball career, the hard truth that he had to face after he finished his college career. We talk about what kind of led up to him deciding to go on this journey on Instagram, what's amazed him most about the journey, and what are some of the fears that he had to face as he kind of travailed the path. What's really cool is we have some fun with Mike. He tells us who he thinks the best shooter in the NBA is and why, as well as the best shooter of all time. And he's a fun guy, a lot of personality, a lot of excitement. So sit back and enjoy this episode with C. Mike Dunn of Instagram. I am pumped for our guest today. You might be wondering, why do we have a shooter, a shooting coach, a sharpshooter? Why are we talking to this guy? We've had, you know, ultra marathoners, we've had business owners, we've had Ironman competitors. And so you might be thinking, why do we have a sharpshooter on the call? But the reality is the Greer Method is all about three things: achieving consistency, building technique and skill, and managing intensity. And I think we see this so frequently in sports, and so it's really easy to pull it out. And if this guy can bring the amount of passion, creativity, consistency to shooting a basketball, then you better believe that you can bring it to every other aspect of your life as well. So I'm going to give a brief intro from what I know about Mike Dunn. Dude is a sharpshooter. He's well-known on Instagram, literally does not miss. If you scroll through his feed, you're going to see him shooting with people like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. A little bit of editing creativity there. The guy has a ridiculous work ethic. I mean, consistently you can see him, only one in the gym, lights are dark, except just enough light to see him shooting, see the ball go in. Got creativity, super consistent. He's a teacher. He's just sharing all of his knowledge, all of his information. And what I just have tons of respect for is that Mike Dunn is a dad and a husband, and he's not afraid to say and communicate that that's his priority. And it's definitely his family. So with that, I want to welcome Mike Dunn to the show. Thanks, Mike, for being here.
Yeah, man. I'm excited. That's a good intro. I like that.
Good.
You didn't mention how great my beard is, but don't worry about it.
His beard's amazing. This is a podcast, so you know, you got to like point out where you, what you want people to hear. Beard's amazing. And he's got a similar hairstyle that I used to have a few years ago, and that I have no doubt I will have again probably in the next 5 to 10 years. So
this is all genetics. This is not my choosing. This is genetic based haircut.
I am on the same genetic route, my friend. So I got to tell you how I found you. So, I want to acknowledge, I mean, Mike has tons of followers on Instagram. So I'm really grateful that he did not judge me for my lack of followers on Instagram, and he agreed to do this show. So I've got I've 4 kids, 7 years old, 4 years old, 2 year old, and then and now a two and a half week old. And my third child is a boy. And when I put him down to bed at night, I mean, this kid, ever since he came on the scene, he has been super interested in sports. And without my even prompting, I love basketball, but he picked up a basketball, started dribbling it. He, you know, he's kicking soccer balls around the room. And when we go to bed, he says, hoop, hoop, who? And all he wants to do is scroll through Instagram and watch clips of basketball. And that's how I found you.
That's awesome.
I was thinking, okay, you know, I want to show him stuff that's going to help him get better. And I came across you and I'm like, dude, this guy is going to teach me how to teach my kid. So just super excited for what you're doing. Thanks. Give us a little bit of background. Why? How did you get to be doing what you're doing? Maybe start from the beginning of, I assume you've got a love for basketball. So take us back to square one, my friend.
So just because I've given the synopsis a lot. So I started playing basketball when I was 10. And I teach shooting a basketball. Like that's my niche. That's where I get in. And I think I could always shoot from the beginning, from the minute I started playing, I could always just kind of shoot the ball. And I attribute that a lot to starting later than a lot of kids start. So I was strong enough to shoot the ball the right way. So that's when I started 10, and it just was, it's like this like addiction in a way where you just, as a kid, that's all you want to do, And it's all I did. My dad put the hoop in the backyard, drew a court on the driveway. He went and got a parking lot, one of those industrial parking lot lights, and attached it to the side of our house so that the whole entire backyard would light up.
No way.
That's how I started. And then, I fell in love with it, and I became better and better and better, started rounding out my game more. Ended up with a full scholarship to Philadelphia University, and I got to play for Herb McGee, who is he's in the Naismith Hall of Fame. He's one of the all-time winningest college coaches ever, and he's also known for being like the shot doctor. He's worked with countless pros, and I think I was real, like, didn't know it then, but he was giving me a lot of information. He would take me to the camps that he would do, and I would kind of demonstrate things while he talked it. He always knew I could shoot. So as he got older, it was easy for me to do what he said and go to these camps and see the way he taught kids and all this kind of stuff. And me as a college kid, I wasn't thinking about it more as a career path at the time. I was more thinking, oh, my college coach just wants me to go around to these camps and clinics with them, not realizing how much valuable information he gave to me. And I finished that up. I finished college up, had a good career, started all 4 years. It was awesome, a lot of fun. And then I kind of left basketball alone for a while. Not sure why. I liked to party a little bit for a while there. everything started to fall back in line. I met my wife, and that's when everything kind of really turned around for me. And one day we moved to Nashville, Tennessee on a whim. And I was speaking to her one day. We were talking about basketball and stuff, and I was talking to her about how much I missed the game. And, you know, I'm telling her, I'm sitting on all this knowledge, and I'm not putting it out there for people. And she just looked at me. She was like, well, then do it. She said, I think you should do it. I think you should find a way to get it out there. And we had, like, this big, you know, heart-to-heart about me pursuing this basketball thing. And that was in September or August of 2016.
Wow.
And so then I just went full bore with it. I found Instagram, had no clue really what Instagram was, and then just started doing it. And just really giving away information.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, at the end of the day.
So we'll get into all of that. Let's go back. And first of all, hashtag wives are amazing, right?
Amazing.
I mean.
Amazing.
So go back to, you know, you're 10 years old. You know, obviously it doesn't sound like your parents were the type that were like, hey, this has to be an NBA player, you know, all basketball all the time.
Right.
What was that environment like that allowed your love of basketball to grow organically?
I think you almost, in a way, you kind of answered that question. It was just they were never pressuring me to do anything. And it was more along the lines of, if this is something you want to do, then we're going to support you doing it. And they 100% did. I mean, they've done so much for me. My parents were incredible in terms of driving me all over the place, getting me all over the country for tournaments, like all that kind of stuff. They were just there for everything. Just awesome, awesome parents. So they saw how much I enjoyed it. And I think that was just the signal to them that, all right, well, we know he's invested in this, so we're going to do whatever we can to help him be successful at it.
So you're working with, you know, young shooters now, probably all sorts of shooters now. no doubt you've seen the parents that are in it for their kid to make it to the yeah. NBA and just living vicariously through it. What would your advice be for those parents, or maybe a young, you know, a young dad who's trying to raise his kids up in the sport? What how do you do it right?
I'm super transparent with parents. So if I have a kid and they bring the kid to me and they're like, oh, this is my son, they give me the lowdown, and or daughter, whatever, they're like, you know, I'm really looking forward to you working with them. And I'll ask them, I'm like, well, are they looking forward to working with me, or are you just looking forward to me working with them? And then I usually have the training session, and I can usually tell if a kid is really invested or not. Mm. And I'll always have that honest conversation with the parent, and I'll say, look, I mean, I don't want to sit here and take your money for something that your kid is not super invested in. He's like, at the end of the day, the only way he or she is going to be successful is if they really, really want to be here. As bad as you want them to be here.
Yeah.
And as much as I could take your money day after day after day, I just don't believe in that. Like, I can't wrap my head around doing that. So I think you just have to let kids be kids and really let them choose the path that they want to go down at the end of the day. And they'll usually, I feel like kids usually end up doing the right thing or doing what their heart truly is set on if you just let them do it.
Yeah. Trust plays a big role, right? Yeah. For sure. For sure. So you went through, and just give us an idea. How tall are you? How, you know, you're not a short guy from what I gather.
I'm 6'6". 6'6", and like I tell everybody on Instagram, 6'6", and a whole lot of handsome is what I tell people.
Dude, and so after college, where did you want to go? Like, did you want to play pro? What was that journey like for you?
You know, man, like, it's another thing that for a while I struggled with even sharing this part of it, because you kind of kick yourself for it, but I wasn't focused. Of course, I wanted to play pro, but I didn't have the work ethic to play professionally at the time. I could shoot the heck out of the basketball, but it was the other things. I wasn't in the weight room. I wasn't worried about my conditioning. I wasn't, you know what I mean? It's like all the little things, I definitely didn't. I don't think I ever reached my full potential in that way. And that's something that I just had, like, at the end of the day, I got to look back and say, well, that's my fault. I did that. I own it. And I can only learn from it now. In terms of trying to reach my potential coaching. So it's a little bit of a different story, but same.
What turned that corner for you? I got to acknowledge you for having that introspection and saying, that was me. That was me not putting in the effort. What turned that corner for you?
Well, I mean, unfortunately it took, I was in a really, really bad car accident. Mm. And that really opened my eyes to a lot of things and kind of admitting where I was at that particular point in my life. And understanding how all this stuff can just be gone, and how I didn't want to look back on anything and say that I just didn't want to leave any stone unturned. And I was like, all right, it's time. Like that was a huge wake up call. And unfortunately it happened. Like I don't wish that on anybody, but at the same time, as awful as it was, it turned out being a huge blessing for me in terms of just forwarding my life in general.
Yeah. So you get out of college, you have this experience at some point. It sounds like you're away from basketball, you said, for a while.
Yep.
The car accident maybe kind of flips some lights on for you. Have a chat with your wife.
Yep.
Is that kind of how it played out?
Yeah, well,
go ahead.
Car accident happened, met my wife. We were together for 4 years up to that point. And then, I mean, I had been at that point, I'd been taking care of myself now, going to the gym all the time, all that kind of stuff. But basketball wasn't a part of my life for those 4 years. But 2016 is where I just got that itch again to start really getting into it.
What were you doing for work before 2016?
So I for the while there, I was working as a national accounts underwriter. Writing large business accounts, which a lot of people probably wouldn't believe, but yeah, I was working on in the property and casualty side, and taking all these meetings with these big companies and whining and dining people, all that kind of stuff.
Not a bad trajectory. You could have done that probably well into retirement,
for sure. For
you and your family, why the switch?
Well, so I I transitioned from that role, and I'm still working another job now, but I work in like the private mortgage note business. But ultimately, you know, the long-term goal for me is become, become the best at what I do. So, I don't know exactly, you know, why the switch, other than it always just comes back to like, this is all I got. I don't know how much time I have. So why not chase something that I really love doing?
I hope that people listening just write that on their hearts. Cause I mean, you're shooting a basketball and right. You are relentless at it. I mean, it is, you're giving away the knowledge, first of all, which I think is a little unheard of these days, right? People are trying to do the hooks that get you into the funnel and whatever else. And you're out there being like, here's everything you do. And then you're creative about it. You're passionate about it. You're just super consistent about it. So I just hope people can hear your story and be like, you know what? There's that thing in my life that I want to have more passion about and go after it.
And it's possible no matter the passion. That's the craziest part. Like you just said, I shoot a basketball. You know what I mean? Like if you really boil that down, that's not the most glorious thing in the world that you would think has, you know, a bunch of depth to it, but you can find a way.
Well, and it's not even that there's depth to it or not. You could be teaching dribbling. You could be teaching, you know, the rules of the game, but you are so focused on, I'm teaching you how to shoot, shoot better, shoot in rhythm, shoot off rhythm, like all of it. It's mind boggling to me. It's amazing. And it's honestly inspiring. What was your biggest fear that you had as you started down this path?
Putting myself out there for criticism. And it was a different world for me. Like, you know, especially when I first started, and like I would post these things, and then people would just come out of nowhere saying how wrong I was or how dumb they thought an idea was and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thankful that I started it, you know, when I was like 29, just because at that point, nothing anybody can say to me really, not like it doesn't matter. But the crazy thing is I always come back to kids and kids that are pursuing what they love to do. So a kid that's maybe 15 and he decides to, he wants to teach people how to shoot. So he's going to document his journey and he's posting things. And I just think about that 15-year-old kid that's putting his heart and soul into things, and other kids are commenting, telling him how dumb they think what he's doing is. And my heart, man, like that just kills me. That kills me. So I think that's part of, I struggled with that at first, understood that I'm equipped for it. And now like my whole thing is you'll never see me post anything negative on there ever about anybody. And I'm always uplifting kids and always telling kids like, you can get better at this, you can get better at that, because I never want a kid to feel that way, especially that early. I don't want them to be crushed because their dream or whatever it is definitely possible.
Dude, I love that. And I can attest to that. Just for everybody listening, I sent Mike a video clip of someone whose free throw was pretty horrendous.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to leave it alone. And so again, like you strike me as someone of, you know, real values, and you're living by those values. Dude, tell us some feel good stories. What kind of good feedback you're posting, reposting, you know, other people's comments and how they're using your stuff. Give us some feel good stories of the impact that you've had.
The without a doubt. I mean, one thing is the fact that like I've reached people around the world now, which if you would have told me that in 2016, I would have said no way. Like there's kids, like I get, you know, kids from Indonesia and kids from Turkey and kids from China and kids from Japan. Like it's crazy. And I put out, not too long ago, I put out this free whole entire shooting workout. And I put it out there and I just said, look, if you can afford it, you can pay me for whatever you want. If you can't afford it, just take it. It's yours. And what was so awesome was seeing kids follow what I was doing in all these different countries and send me updates and all that kind of stuff, which was, I think that's like mind boggling to me. And then the second thing is something that you kind of touched on, is just because you said you scroll through and you show your son basketball clips. I've had a lot of parents tell me that I'm the reason that they allow their kid to have social media, because they feel that I'm providing enough of an example where they feel okay with them watching what I'm doing.
Yeah, I mean, I can totally echo that. I mean, we are, I don't mean to make it sound like I'm putting my two-year-old to sleep with social media. That's not best practice. but, you know, when we do it, I hold the phone away so right. that I can find your page and then show him, right? Because, you know, you never know what you're going to find on there. And so having a guy like you out there who is demonstrating such good values of integrity, work ethic, passion, compassion, those are all just incredibly valuable to see and you know, something I'm willing to show my kid. Yeah, so, and I love that you're sticking up for the little guys. I think I saw a post the other day where, you know, you were talking about, hey, forget the people out there criticizing you. I've got your back no matter what. And I can only imagine that means a lot from some of your followers. So
it's absolutely awesome. Sorry, I'm just plugging in my phone here.
You're good. Yeah. We don't want to lose you.
All right.
So, what surprised you most about what you're doing now, and maybe the impact that you've had, and maybe you've already covered it, but what are some of the things that have surprised you the most?
I mean, I just think the reach is the huge thing to me. And another thing that surprised me is how many older guys out there will reach out to contact me and say that because they've seen what I've been doing is that they've started to play basketball again, like, you know, 40, 50 year old guys. And it's just funny to me because I feel like there's this stigma, like, not a stigma, I don't know, but you get to a certain point where it's like, okay, you got a certain age, you have a job, you're not supposed to do this anymore. You're not supposed to play basketball anymore and do all this kind of stuff. And I completely disagree with it. I think it's one of those things where it's kind of exposes people to why they love the game to begin with and that you can enjoy it at any given time.
Yeah, well, I also think that like there's a, especially with men, there's a stigma of I can't be coached, right? So my experience with basketball is maybe different than yours, maybe a little similar. I didn't start playing until I was 15 and I was horrible. We grew up in a really wealthy area, but we were very poor. And so all the kids around me were going to basketball camps and they were, you know, they had those coaches and they were playing AAU and all the different groups. Right. And I remember going and playing at a church at 5 o'clock in the morning and being so bad that literally some of the other players were like, my brothers and I would go, they would say, why are these kids coming? They're terrible.
Yeah.
And I don't know what kept me going, but we kept going and now we're competitive. You can still know very clearly that I never played organized basketball because I'm not fundamentally sound at all. But I can compete. But I remember when I was probably 25, I hired a coach. Hired a guy and I felt embarrassed to be on the court at that time. He had me train with his 14-year-old, you know, other kids right. He was training and I was a 25-year-old man. And so there's that kind of stigma like, oh, we can't learn something new or, you know, and so I think what you're doing allows people to have kind of that like closet coaching, right? I'm going to become a better shooter because I'm following Mike Dunn.
Or you can learn at anything at any given point in time. Like you said, like there's really not, I mean, obviously this is just talking about shooting, but there's no reason that says you can't go off and do something completely different as well and learn about that. You never stop learning. You never should at the end of the day.
Amen. And we're definitely going to get into the impacts outside of basketball. Tell me, so the Greer Method is, as I said at the beginning, that it's all about achieving consistency, specifically in core habits. It's about, you know, improving and building your technique so you're doing things the right way, and it's about managing intensity. Tell me what consistency means to you and how important it is to what you're doing.
It's consistency is everything. In fact, I get made fun of because of probably how habitual I am. My wife's sitting here. So I literally, you know, when it comes to consistency, I believe, you know, shooting a basketball, you have to be able to do the same thing, shoot the same shot every single shot. You want to get to that point where it's like muscle memory. Mm-hmm. And I kind of treat my days the same way. So I'm usually up. The baby's here now, so I'm still up at like about 4 a.m. to get my day started. But it was for a while 3:15, 3:30 in the morning, and I'm in the gym, and I get everything out of the way in the morning, and then I'm at work. I'm doing my basketball stuff. I'm doing all that kind of stuff. It's almost to the point where, like, any time of the day, if you gave me the time, I could tell you exactly where I'm going to be, you know, 5 days ahead of time.
So the real question here is, what is the cost of that consistency, Mike? What does that cost you?
I mean, it doesn't really cost me anything. It cost me some sleep.
Okay.
I'm sure it cost me some time with my family. So you know what? Those would be the two. Probably sleep and a little bit of time with my family. So, but it's that end goal. It's that what I see happening at the end of the road. So I think it will all be worth it when it's all said and done.
We've got no doubt your vision is crystal clear. You're headed in that direction. You know, I think when we think about consistency, people often, I think there are a lot of costs because you're probably, you know, not going out to the bars every night. You're probably not partying as much as you once were. And so some of those are trade-offs that people look at a guy like you and they say, man, I would love to be that automatic, but they're not willing to put in, you know, the routine around it that allows you to be that consistent, that automatic.
Right.
Tell me what you think about technique. So, I mean, obviously, you know, you want people consistently shooting, but it doesn't make sense if they're consistently shooting the wrong way.
Right.
So how do you think about technique?
I think technique is huge. I think there's certain fundamental principles that you apply. So when it comes to shooting, I believe in there's a few kind of like non-negotiable type deals. But I also understand that every single person is completely different. Our body types are different. What's comfortable for one person may not be comfortable for another. So it really comes down to just because these are my keys, hands under the ball and in the middle of the ball, just a solid base. So feet about shoulder width apart, a little further, and getting your release point up to a certain point. And then after that, I tell people, I don't care what you do. Those are just my kind of my non-negotiables. Everything else I think falls into place after that. But I think that's when it boils down to technique, I keep it super simple.
Yeah. How do you manage the level of intensity that you engage? I mean, you've been doing this for a couple of years. Again, you only have to like look at your Instagram page to know this guy is living this, right? So how do you manage that level of intensity?
I just love it, man. I just love it. I've had this conversation with my wife. Like I wish sometimes like I didn't have to sleep. Like I wish sleep wasn't a thing sometimes. But I wake up super early and people are like, how do you wake up early? How do you wake up so full of energy? I don't know. People are like, I don't understand how you do that. And once you find out what it is that you really love to do, it's not hard getting up early in the morning, and it's not hard putting your best foot forward and giving as much energy and passion as you have right along with it. Because you're, like you said, like if you're living it and you really want that thing, I mean, it's nothing that you really have to, it doesn't feel like it's like an effort to me. It's kind of just a natural thing.
How many shots a day are you shooting?
When I'm in there, I mean, at this point it's not as much as it was. But I'll get
just give us a ballpark.
I'll get my 200 makes in. I never count shots. I only count makes. I don't believe in counting shots, because if I go in there and shoot 200 shots but miss 199 of them, I probably didn't get any better that day. So I'm always just counting makes. So at least I know I made 200 shots by the time I left the gym.
Dude, that's incredible. And how many days a week are you shooting?
Try to shoot every day.
Every day.
But now with the baby, I'm spreading it out a little more.
Yeah, everybody has to adjust a little bit. We gotta tweak the strategy, right?
which is more than okay. I do not mind at all. It's being a dad is the best.
Yeah, awesome. And again, like I hope people that are listening, they're hearing you can. So one of the things that is a big threat to the Greer method, right? Big threat to our consistency, our technique, our intensity, is the temptation to compare, to other people. Because I can look at you and say, I'm never going to be Mike Dunn. You know, I don't have time to make 200 shots a day. So right. I may as well just not even put in the time. And so I hope everybody that's listening is listening to what Mike is saying around being consistent, doing it right, and having a certain level of intensity. And don't do what he's doing, but start where you're at and start to establish that consistency. Maybe it's just the consistency of waking up a little earlier. Yeah. Maybe it's just the consistency of, you know, going to the gym, and then improve the technique. And then, you know, the intensity is going to be there because, I mean, you probably, you are getting commented all the time. How do you do it all? How do you right. live at that level? And I think, you know, what I work on with my clients is making sure that they know you can't do it without a foundation of consistency.
Right.
You can't do it without a foundation of doing it the right way, having the proper technique, those principles that are true. No matter what kind of shooter you are, you've got those three things that's what it takes.
Absolutely.
Tell us how this stuff has spilled out into the rest of your life. How has your perspective changed? How has it just, and maybe it hasn't, but I imagine it probably has a little bit.
You know, I think that I would say, I feel like, I guess, I think we all have these moments where we're like, man, I think I could really do something, but it's about taking that first step and actually doing it. So now that I've kind of taken the step, I feel like almost anything is possible at this point. Like which may sound ridiculous, but like
not at all.
I used to be a very, like, around my friends and family, outgoing, cool. Like, I'll be outgoing with those people. But when it came to even being in a work setting for the longest time, or if I had to talk to somebody one-on-one that I didn't know, I was so scared. Like, I would turn bright red, and like I would start stuttering over my words. I was so afraid. I feel like I was so afraid to let people know who I really was for the longest time. And this, doing something that I was fully backing, like I'm fully behind, I'm fully in, it had really allowed me to just be myself. And I think social media is interesting because you can take two routes. You can either be yourself 100%, or you can pretend to be somebody and you can get away with it for quite a while. And I just went the route of, look, this is going to be me, because if I ever hit it, if I ever make it in this thing that I want to do, I want to make it as me. I don't want to make it as somebody else pretending to be. And then I made it as them. Now I have to continue to be that person that I'm trying to convince people I am. That would just be exhausting to me.
I love that, man. I think, and I mean, look, you're taking calls from a random stranger in North Carolina, and you know, you're doing a video Zoom. So I totally love that. And you know, you said at the very beginning of the interview, you said, you know, that it's almost like an addiction,
right?
You know, and I think that's the power of putting yourself out there. And I think when most people put themselves out there, then they'll be surprised that they can actually do amazing things.
Right.
And then that fuels that fire. It's like, well, what else can I do? Yeah. Right. So I again, totally love that. Where else have you seen impact? Have you seen impact in your family or in your community?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to say it's made me I think the consistency aspect that we talked about, you know, just waking up and ensuring, like, you know, I have like my core set of things I always need to get done. I feel like in a way it spills over to making me more productive in every other area, which is strange, I guess, because it's kind of centered towards my own self-care, self-development, what I do teaching. But I feel like it definitely carries over in terms of my family, spending time with my wife, spending time with my daughter, like all that stuff really has a lot of meaning to me. I don't know. Maybe I would still have that same meaning if I wasn't doing this stuff. I don't know, but it just clicks. Like it's really, really hard to explain. The other aspect of it is, once I started doing this stuff and holding myself accountable and understanding I was going after something, the want to constantly learn things like skyrocketed. I don't like, I listen, I can't, that's why I asked you like what your podcast was about. And I went back and I started listening. I can't tell you how many podcasts I listen to. And then just reading books, like I can't get enough of just learning just random things all of the time. And I feel like all of that is a direct result of this little thing that I do.
Dude, I again, it sounds very similar to my own journey where, you know, you hit certain levels and it's kind of like you start to see sky's the limit, you know,
right.
Like,
right.
I shared earlier, you know, I grew up in a very wealthy area and we were very poor. And I remember feeling when I was younger, like that was going to be my life. Like right. It was as good as it was going to get. And it wasn't until somebody came along in my life and showed me like flashes of like, you can do more.
Yeah.
You can do more, you know? And I think achievement has that ability. I think sometimes we need a guide to show us those sparks. Absolutely. Sounds like your college coach was that a little bit. Who yeah. else has inspired you in your life?
I really don't think there's too many people, but like, I know I keep coming back to it, but my wife is amazing. Like I don't know how I got so lucky. She met me at my lowest, like one of my lowest points, and saw something in me that like is just it's mind-boggling. I tell her like to this day, I'd be like, I can't believe like you were attracted to me then. Like you saw something then, but she did, and she like she supports everything. She tells she probably has more confidence in me than I have in myself. So she's just, and what she does, I mean. She's incredible. I can't do what she does either. So,
dude, I think I remember one of your posts around you having your daughter for like 3 hours or something. Like, and she does this all day.
Yeah.
When I walk out that door and I got my three kids swirling around and one crying in the bassinet, it's like, you know what, hon? I'm going to go back to my office.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wives are rock stars. Well, awesome, man. What are the next goals? What are the next, you know, the next steps for you? What are you most excited about?
You know, I don't know what's going to happen. Stuff is really starting to pick up for me in terms of just being able to train people all over. I just, for some reason, I see myself, you know, traveling all over the world, impacting as many kids as possible, not just with basketball, but just with understanding that there's a lot out there that's meant for you. If you believe you can do it, you know, you can kind of do it. And I think it'd be super cool to be traveling all over the place with my wife and my daughter, which for some reason, I just keep having that vision of me going from place to place, places I probably never even would have imagined. And I think, I don't know, man, there's, for some reason, I feel like that's calling me. And I think it's going to happen here soon.
Dude, it is going to happen. I can assure you that, dude, like you are on the path. Tell us what grind season means for those of us who might not be as hip or cool.
So grind,
what is it?
Grind season, people say, when does grind season start? And I say, well, it starts on January 1st of the new year and ends on December 31st of that same year. So I say grind, that's when grind season starts.
There you go.
I tell people grind season is it's whatever, it's making that decision that whatever it is that you love to do, that you're going to do everything in your power to do more of it. My one friend used to say, he said this one saying, he was like, when you find your passion, he's like, you just, he always would say, pursue it ruthlessly, which is a little dramatic, I guess, but that those two words, pursue it ruthlessly, has always stuck with me. So I think that's kind of the message behind grind season. Whatever you got to do to go get what it is you love to do, do it.
Go do it. No excuses, no apologies. Go after it. Make it happen. Okay. I want to have a little bit of fun with you before I let you go. Who is the greatest shooter in the NBA?
Steph Curry.
Hands down.
Not even a question.
Who's number two?
Klay Thompson.
That's good for Golden State, right?
It's really good, yeah.
Who would you say is the greatest shooter of all time?
Steph Curry.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think anybody will somebody will come along and be better than him just because now he's laid the foundation for allowing people to see what's possible. But there's been nobody that can shoot the ball like he can in the different ways he can.
You know much better than I, but what has he done differently than others that have come before him?
His ability to cross half court and five steps in from half court, the defense has to pick him up, has never been done before because of he can shoot the ball up to 40 feet. I think his percentage at 40 feet and beyond is something absurd. He hasn't taken tons of shots out that way, but his shot percentage from there is absurd. So defenses are aware of it. It opens up the game for everybody else because now everybody has to come out. So now it leaves different driving lanes, cutting lanes. Like the way he bends defenses just because of his ability to shoot the basketball has just never been done before.
That's incredible. And his shot more pure than other shooters, or what? How do you as the shot doctor? How do you analyze his shot?
Yeah, it's I couldn't teach it. That's the craziest part about it. He has certain fundamental principles, like the thing that I say, you know, he's a strong base, strong core. Hand ultimately gets under the ball before he lets it go. Ball comes off his fingertips. But the way he does it, there's just certain things I have to tell. There's just certain things you can't really explain. He's mastered. He's done it so many times and spent so much time doing it that the flaws that are in his shot, he's turned into strengths. And that's what I think a lot of people don't realize. They just see it and they're like, oh, well, I can go out and I can do that because that's how the way Steph does it. Not understanding he's put in thousands and thousands of hours perfecting the exact way only he can shoot the basketball. So people can do that. People can find their way, but you're going to have to put in a hell of a lot of time to do it.
Hey, thousands and thousands of hours. There is a price to that for right. Sure. So you got to be, hopefully you've got a big multi-million-dollar contract that says, yeah,
I'm going to. Or you just really want one.
Yeah, there you go.
You want that multi-million-dollar contract.
Yeah. I'm not going to go downstairs and tell my wife that I'm making a career change.
Probably a good move on your part.
Right? Rank these three shooters in terms of best shot.
Okay.
Steve Nash, Steve Kerr, Mark Price.
Whew. This is going to be I'm going to answer this because more of a prisoner of the moment answer, just because I've seen so much more of Steve Nash. So I'll go Steve Nash one. I think Steve Nash, had he played now, he could average close to 30 points a game in the right offensive system because he didn't shoot the ball as much as he really needed to shoot the ball.
Yeah.
And then second, I'm going to go with Price just because Price had the ball in his hands more, could hit more shots. I mean, his off the dribble, pull up, all that kind of stuff. And then I'm going Steve Kerr last because ultimately Steve Kerr in the NBA as a terrific player. He was at Arizona. He was more of a spot up shooter in the NBA, but a really, really, really good spot up shooter.
Dude, love that. I'm not going to ask you who has the worst shot in the NBA because we already know you're not going to answer that. But I am going to make you rank which of these players has your favorite shot.
Okay.
Sean Marion, Joakim Noah, or Chuck Hayes?
I'll go Chuck Hayes because I'm a Kentucky fan.
Okay, there you go.
I went to Kentucky, so I'll go Chuck Hayes.
Hey, Mike, it has been an absolute pleasure having you. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and have a chat with me. And you're an inspiring guy, man. I really appreciate what you're doing. I love how authentic you are. I love how you're looking out for anyone and everyone who just needs a little bit of motivation to go out and do their thing. So just really appreciate you coming on the show. Anywhere where people can find you, where you want to send them?
You can find me on Instagram at C Mike Dunn. I have a YouTube channel, same thing, C Mike Dunn, which I'm trying to kick off. I'm trying to understand YouTube more. I don't fully understand it yet, but
you and me both, brother.
I'm getting there. My wife's been throwing ideas at me, so we're gonna try to tackle that and see if we can make an impact on YouTube somehow.
Good. Well, Mike, it's been an absolute pleasure. And guys, in the words of the famous Mike Dunn, please keep shooting.
I loved that episode. Love talking to Mike. He's such a down-to-earth guy. Clearly passionate about what he's doing. And there's not really anything that he's doing that somebody else can't do. Now, we definitely have to, like he did, face our own fears, take ownership and accountability, but recognize that the potential is there if we only just go after it. It is, as he said, it's possible. So I hope you, whatever your dream, whatever your goal, whatever your vision, I hope that you took away a little bit added motivation to go after it, to maybe risk failure, risk the fear, and maybe start making progress toward that today, because there's guys like Mike out there who are willing to help you, who are willing to give you information and support your efforts, and just give you what you need so that you can be the success that you know you can be. So I hope you love this episode. If you enjoyed it, please like it, love it, share it with all of your friends. Go to where you listen to podcasts, leave a comment. A 5-star review is fantastic, but even a 1-star review helps me know how I can improve. Tell me what you're looking for in this podcast as I learn and grow in my craft. And would love those reviews so that helps us get our message out, helps us reach those who might feel like, hey, they're stuck. They need to get out, and this might be, hearing Mike's story might be the thing that jump starts them out of that. So thank you again for listening. And until next time, I'm Jared Greer with Greer Method.